Okay, so this week what we're going to talk about is the EPA released their latest round of data from the EMTS. Generally, what we saw are some of the same trends that we've kind of been seeing a little bit over the time that the pandemic has obviously had an impact on biodiesel production. Biodiesel production remained relatively relatively steady. Domestic biodiesel production, you can see it was down just a little bit from last month and down a little bit from last year, but it wasn't substantially down. And so that is something that you can tell from our forecast. We expect to continue the July, the August number. We expect a little bit of tick up. And then actually the September number, that's typically a time when I think some of the producers do some maintenance. And so if you just look at the historical data, September is usually down from August, and then production tends to ramp up. Historically, it has tended to ramp up into the end of the year. Obviously, 2019 was a little bit different because of the uncertainty about the biodiesel blenders tax credit. Renewable diesel production remained kind of a little weaker than might be otherwise expected. You can see it was down from June. June had kind of gotten back to close to where we would typically expect it to be. And July was actually down from last year. We think that that it's going to come back a little bit more slowly than biodiesel production, but we don't see it continuing to decline further from these levels. We expect it to remain at these levels or come up just a little bit going forward as we head into the end of the year. Outside of that, in the report, maybe one of the more surprising things that that the data showed was there was actually a big jump in jet fuel production. That one was really surprising given what's going on in the airline industry, and just the fact that while jet fuel production had been forecast to grow pretty rapidly, we hadn't really gotten a lot of follow through there. But the production level, and I apologize, we don't have a chart for that one, but the production level was about 1.5 million gallons, which was one of the larger months that we've seen. I don't have a great explanation for why that happened. Maybe the airlines are deciding that during this sort of transition in the industry that they're going to use more renewable diesel, and that this is a good time to make the switch since they're going through so many other changes anyway. But that was probably maybe the most surprising thing. If you look at production by the fuel categories, D4 production remained pretty steady with where it was. D5 actually came back quite a bit. D5 had been running about 7 or 8 million gallons a month and jumped up to like 26 million gallons. However, the bulk of that was not really renewable diesel just renewable diesel production. There was a big jump in cellulosic ethanol credits that were generated under the D5 category, and that accounted for about 23 million gallons and 22 million gallons of the increase. Again, part of the reason that D5 has been generally weaker than expected has just been sort of the slowdown in the renewable diesel production. All right. Now we'll kind of go into our gross margin forecast. You can see we expect margins to remain relatively steady. We expect maybe a slight downturn in margins for renewable diesel heading into the end of the year, while biodiesel we expect to tick up slightly. That's probably has more to do with the feedstock composition and the relative prices for the outputs than anything else. I guess kind of obviously the feedstock composition that we have on the renewable diesel side is a little bit different than what we have for biodiesel, in that the renewable diesel feedstocks are mostly the low CI feedstocks, or entirely the low CI feedstocks, whereas the biodiesel feedstock obviously contains a lot of soybean oil, and our forecast for soybean oil prices is to rise, but the forecast for biodiesel prices is to rise a little bit more. With credits, you can see kind of the same thing, and we've got biodiesel producers, including the $1 blender's tax credit, clearing about 50 cents a gallon, while renewable diesel production remains above $2. Given what's going on in the gross margins, the renewable diesel production shortfall is all the more surprising. I would think that renewable diesel producers would be happy to be producing right now, and much sort of in the same way as what I guess apparently is going on in the airline industry. You would think that this would be a good time for people to switch over, and since renewable diesel is a drop-in fuel, you would think that would be a relatively easy thing to do. It may be that some of the renewable diesel producers, or I guess I'll put it this way, the renewable diesel industry is it's been faster to react to the pandemic on both sides, and so it may be that even though the stock market's setting new records, the economy has not bounced back in the same way. And so it may be that the renewable diesel producers are actually reacting to what's going on in sort of the real economy, while the tax credits allow biodiesel producers to continue producing at a level that is close to what we saw before the pandemic. For RIN forecasts, what you've seen recently is a little tick down, or last month, I guess we saw a little tick down in D6. Those prices have come back. I think the biggest thing to note here is that we still expect that concerns about the blend wall in 2020 will continue to narrow the spread between D4 and D6 RIN prices. We've got it getting relatively close there in early 21 before that spread widens out a little bit. And the improvement in the margins for biodiesel, we think, or at least the model reflects, could weigh on the value of D4 RINs going forward. I think that's probably why you see the weakness in the forecast there, is that one of the components that we use for the forecast is the HOBO spread, and that sort of has an inverse relationship with the value of D4 RINs. And so to the extent that the HOBO spread is going to, or at least is projected to start to come down, which means increased profitability, that takes some of the pressure off the D4 RINs to have to provide that profitability. And speaking of the HOBO spread, here you see it's been relatively strong, and the forecast is for it to remain relatively strong. And by relatively strong, I mean greater than a dollar, but we do expect that it's going to come off the levels that we've seen in recent months, where it's been closer to $1.20 than it has been to a dollar. Again, we think that soybean oil prices will remain relatively well supported through the end of the year. And then early next year, we think that there could be some weakness. And so that explains that side of the hobo spread. On the output side of the hobo spread, I think that the rally in crude oil prices and distillate prices from the negative prices that we saw earlier in the year is expected to continue, although obviously at a much slower pace. We're up around, crude is trading around 42. I don't know that we expect it to get back to 60 anytime in the near future. But I think that it probably remains well supported at these levels and could continue to sort of creep higher. And that's reflected in this driving the spread lower. And finally, we'll look at LCFS credit prices. So obviously there's something a little fishy with this chart, but our forecast for LCFS credit prices is relatively steady to slightly weaker. They've been trading right around the 190 to 195 level. And even the forward markets are around that level. The really forward markets out towards the end of 2021 have tended to be the weaker of the markets. I don't know if that's just a structure of the market thing where they're just so far ahead that they're in time that they're always going to be a little bit weaker in all of the demand. From obligated parties is nearby, and so that keeps the closer trades more supported than the deferred trades. But that's kind of what we see. We don't necessarily think that, I guess I should say, while the market is probably going to remain relatively volatile, right now we don't necessarily see a tick back up towards that $212 limit that the prices are theoretically supposed to be the maximum price that they're allowed to trade. All right, with that, I will open it up for questions. And so the first question that we have is, what is the longer term outlook for ethanol production and the supply of corn oil? We actually are going to get together this Thursday once a quarter. We review our a big long plant list that we use to build some of the feedstock demand, especially for renewable diesel and co-processing. And so once a quarter we get together and we talk through that and we talk through these projections, and we're going to talk through the ethanol question at the same time. My gut response right now is that the changes that we've seen in the way people are working obviously aren't going to go away in the very short term, and seem unlikely to go in at some level, seem unlikely to go away in the longer term, right? So there's some amount of people that they have figured out they like working from home. Their bosses have figured out that they like working from home. And so I think there will be some depression in the demand for gas, and then that translates into lower mandates and ultimately lower production. The question is exactly how much that of the reduction that we've seen due to the pandemic sort of carries through. What we've seen in ethanol production is it's come back, but it still remains about 100, 150 million, 200 million gallons below last year's monthly levels. And I think that spread probably narrows a little bit going forward, but I'm not sure that we ever get fully back to the levels that we saw maybe not last year, because I think production was down a little bit last year, but the year before, unless we get some change to the mandate and it goes from E10 to E15. So I think that probably production continues to slowly come back and sort of slowly builds on the current levels, but doesn't get all the way back to what we saw before the pandemic. And so the resulting supply of corn oil probably, at least in the next year, let's call it, remains depressed to that same percent. The one sort of bright spot, if you're somebody that buys corn oil potentially, is that they continue to make advances in the amount of corn oil that they can recover. At some point, there'll be sort of a theoretical limit just on the amount of oil that's in a kernel of corn, but they've gotten more efficient at recovering the corn oil. And so to the extent that continues, any decrease in production due to less driving because more people are working at home may be offset at a little bit. Here's a question. There's been a lot of talk about renewable diesel production levels. Do you have any data on the renewable diesel demand levels? Wondering what the supply demand looks like for RD in the upcoming year or two. We don't really track the demand side of the renewable diesel market. We probably could, and this is something that we've kind of talked about. We talked about it a little bit more during the pandemic because there were sort of two ways to come at trying to forecast the impact of the pandemic on production. One was trying to look at it just from the supply side, and then one was trying to do it from the demand side. And so we looked at it trying to do it from the demand side, and we kind of set it aside. I'm not saying that we would never do it. I think that it probably makes sense to sort of fill out that side of the balance sheet. But right now, we don't really have a great view on that. And as we make progress in that area, we'll keep you updated, and we'll let you know as we kind of get to building that part out. Next question is, bear with me one second while I look off screen here. Do you expect the slowdown in renewable diesel production to continue? I kind of touched on that a little bit. I guess I think that given the relative profitability of renewable diesel and biodiesel, that we expect it to remain at this level or a little bit above this level. If there were some big change in that profitability and all of a sudden renewable diesel became significantly more profitable, either because of a reduction in feedstock costs or a big surge in the price of diesel, then maybe it would start to pick up a little bit more. I don't know that I think either of those things are going to happen. Again, the diesel part, because of the reduced driving. So unless there's a big shift in the use of just renewable diesel instead of regular diesel, I don't know that is going to drive a bunch of demand. On the feedstock side, I think that there is some potential for some improvement there in the low CI feedstocks as the slaughter plants figure out how to deal with what are relatively cramped working conditions. I could see there might be more choice white grease and tallow production. As restaurants reopen, there will be more used cooking oil available. So to the extent that I think that there might be some improvement in profitability that would drive a recovery in renewable diesel production, my guess is it probably comes from the feedstock side rather than on the demand side. But the demand question is a good one. And like I said, it's something that I'm sure we will look into in the future. And sort of as we do, we will keep you guys updated. All right. I think we're probably over our time a little bit. Really appreciate everybody joining us every week, and especially appreciate everybody that stuck around through all of the technical difficulties that we had this week to listen. We will do some testing and figure out what's going on with, I guess, what's a new version of Zoom, so we don't have the same issues next week. Have a great week, everybody.